In the gospel text, we read, "You have heard that it was said to them of old, 'Thou shalt not kill.' And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord is, in today's gospel, explaining the fifth commandment. He said, "You have heard that it was said to them of old." That is, he is telling the listeners, God gave to your forefathers the commandment upon Mount Sinai, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, it's interesting to note that it was not God, but it was the Pharisees who made that addition, that whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. That was not said by God. That was the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees, as you well know, were men concerned only about appearances and externals. And they limited the fifth commandment merely to the very act of murder. And they not only did not consider internal sins against the fifth commandment, such as anger and hatred, to be forbidden, they went actually so far as to say that calumnies and slander were allowed. They were not sinful. Well, our Lord, he says firmly in today's gospel, speaking as the supreme lawgiver, he says, "But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and that whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." There's a famous story about Alexander the Great. He was by nature very passionate and quite impatient. Somehow, though, he managed for many years to keep his anger in check, until one tragic day he lost all control. The story goes that he was at a banquet. A singer was on stage and compared Alexander to the gods. And one of Alexander's generals, who had saved Alexander's life once before, heard all of this and became quite incensed and began criticizing the words of that song. They say that Alexander would have actually run him through with a sword had not an officer prevented it. And the friends of that general rushed him out a back door, but he was half drunk. He came back in through another door to continue his railing against Alexander. And in an instant, in a flash, Alexander picked up a spear and hurled it through the heart of the general, who was also a childhood friend. They say that for days, Alexander mourned having done this. He conquered the world, think of it. But he could not conquer himself. Now, very few of us, speaking of the fifth commandment, will ever commit murder or suicide. Nevertheless, many of us have, in fact, shortened the lives of others by what we might call the weapons of sorrow and grief and bitterness. For example, many a child has put early wrinkles and gray hair on a parent through defiance, disobedience, and all the rest. And many a home is a purgatory on earth, if not worse, through all of those nasty looks that are given among family members, unkind words spoken, the lack of affection, and the downright open aversion for one another. And the cause of all this, the sin against the fifth commandment. So I thought today I would give just a little catechism lesson about anger. It's not going to be exhaustive at all. Well, first, anger is a passion. The passions, anger and sadness and so on and so forth, they are indifferent in themselves. They are, our Lord, for example, had the passion of anger. Anger as a passion becomes good, even virtuous, when there are three conditions present. First, when we have a just cause for being angry. And secondly, when we are angry within the right limits, that is, that our anger is moderate. And thirdly, when our anger is motivated by charity, not revenge. It becomes sinful, this passion does, if there is no just cause, or if our anger is excessive or defective, or if it is motivated by anything other than charity. Anger is to be used to overcome an obstacle, an aggressor. And sometimes we must become angry. For instance, when our faith is spoken against, or when a parent is disciplining a child, or a soldier is fighting in a just war. Remember that our Lord became angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple. That was not only a good act, but it was a virtuous act, because he was in control of his anger, and his anger did not control him. Other times, most of the time, we must refrain from anger and practice the virtue of meekness. This is truly most often the case in our day-to-day lives. Now, anger as a capital sin, it's defined by Tanqueray, who was a great author of the spiritual life. He defined it as a violent, inordinate desire of punishing others, regardless of those three conditions that I just mentioned: a just cause, moderation, and the motive of charity. It is a sudden, violent feeling caused by a real or imaginary injury, and carrying with it a desire for revenge. And he goes on to say that there are degrees of anger, 5 degrees. It's very interesting. The first degree of anger is this: a mere impulse of impatience when the slightest annoyance causes a show of temper. And then secondly, agitation, which causes the irritation and shows dissatisfaction by uncontrolled gestures. So, for example, you become irritated and you roll your eyes, or you stomp out of the room. Thirdly, sometimes anger reaches violence, not only in words, but in actual fighting, physical fighting. The fourth degree is fury, which is a temporary insanity. If you see it, you know it, because they react in such a way that they really do seem to have lost their use of reason in their words and their gestures, etc. But the worst degree of anger is when it develops into hatred, desiring revenge, and even going so far as to desire the death of one's enemy or perceived enemy. The Catechism Explained says that we have an obligation to avoid everything that may destroy the health or the life of our neighbor. The fifth commandment then forbids not just murder, but all of those things that can in any way lead to murder. So, it is sinful to wish harm to one's neighbor, to injure his health, to challenge him to a fight, or, of course, to put him to death unjustly and willfully. And there is only really one step between wishing somebody evil and then carrying it out, which is why anger can be so dangerous. But we all know that hatred is so bad simply because it is contrary to the virtue of charity, which God commanded. It is said that envy, you know what envy is, it's that feeling of sadness that comes to us when we see the good fortune of another person. They say that envy is the brother of hatred because it has driven many a soul to do evil to another. For example, it drove Cain to murder Abel. And right now, we priests are reading the book of Kings and about King Saul and King David. Well, Saul became envious because David had killed Goliath, and the people were beginning to acclaim him as the hero. So Saul became quite envious and on at least two occasions tried to murder David. But this envy, it happens in daily life. When a younger sibling excels at something that the older sibling is not good at, for example. Or when an acquaintance receives a raise that you thought you deserved and didn't get. Or a compliment that you don't receive when others do. There is always this, because of envy, this tendency to fight, to dislike or even hate the person. And certainly, though, envy leads us to treat others with great unkindness. Quarreling. What is that? It's an old word for an angry argument. Usually it gets loud, quite loud, but not always. And it happens far too often, families fighting over money, especially once the parents have died and the siblings have to figure everything out. A whole lot of quarreling goes on. Spouses digging up the past mistakes and their spouse's shortcomings. Or Catholics fighting not over theology and doctrine, things that have been defined, but fighting over mere opinions. How many splits we have seen since Vatican II, and all because of quarreling that doesn't need to go on. Many a friendship has been shaken, many a parish has been split, and in the end it hurts the mission of the church. Well, the Catechism Explained again, it says that quarreling is bad also for this reason, that it simply agitates our neighbor. And get this, it deprives him of the interior peace and content that he requires in the spiritual life. And for that reason, it is against the fifth commandment. Quarrels, they often lead to fighting, that is, punching and striking another. And sadly, this type of sin usually takes place between those who claim to love one another, brothers, for example. Now today, I simply want you to examine your conscience. Are you angry with someone? Do you carry a grudge? Maybe you've pushed it so down deep that you can scarcely recall it or recognize it. Do you have antipathy towards someone? If your anger is brought on by a just cause and is tempered by moderation and motivated by charity, then you have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about at all. Your anger is not only good, but virtuous. But for most, our anger gets the best of us. And as St. Francis de Sales once said, there was never an angry man that thought his anger unjust. Okay, to conclude, our Lord, he tells us very clearly today what we must do before offering sacrifice. We must be reconciled to our brother. And what beautiful advice St. Paul gives, let not the sun go down upon your anger, he said. Okay, so we began this sermon with a story about Alexander the Great and how his anger led to murder. But let's end this sermon on a positive note with a story that pretty much sums up the sermon quite nicely. St. John the Almoner once had some sort of a dispute with his treasurer over what to do with money that they had just received. The treasurer wanted to invest it and to gain interest on it, and St. John wanted to give it away to the poor. And so each one insisted on his own opinion, and they parted in anger. Now, when evening was approaching, St. John sent a priest to the treasurer to say, "Sir, the sun is going down." And the treasurer burst into tears and went to St. John, and they were reconciled before the sun ever set that evening. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.